To Acts chapter 5. If you want a Thanksgiving message, then come back tonight and we'll give you one, all right? But this morning, Acts chapter 5, if you will, I want to speak to you on the subject of who wants in your shadow.
Amen.
Who wants in your shadow, all right? So that'll give you something to think about for a little bit, and I hope you can stay with me this morning and I'll try to preach fast if you'll listen fast, and we'll get out early. But if you listen slow, I have to slow down, all right, so you don't miss it, all right? Acts chapter 5, if you will, look in verse 12. The Bible said, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." I want you to notice there in verse 12, do you see that open of that, parentheses? Do you see the opening of the parentheses in front of the word "and"? All right, you have to drop down to the verse 14, the end of it, to where you see the close of that parenthesis. Now, I want to read here without that part in parenthesis. You said, "Preacher, it's not important." Oh, it's very important, all right? But I want you to understand where I'm coming from this morning. Verse 12, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people." Verse 15, "insomuch that they brought forth the sick unto the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them." Now, we're in the early days. In Acts, we're in the very early days of the New Testament church, all right? It's just been around. It started with the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here on the earth. He started the church. And some things have been going on, though, there in the book of Acts. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, the Bible said, "And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things." Great fear came upon all the church. But wait a minute, it wasn't just in the church. The Bible says it affected as many as heard these things, all right? You said, what was going on? Well, the power of God shook up that area, all right? Now, I want you to know we still have that same power today, all right? The same power that indwelt those believers dwells in us today who are believers. We just sang, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." If you've not trusted him as your Savior, and you can't put, as I say it, you can't put the finger, your finger on the day in your life when you got saved. Now, I don't mean the date on the calendar. I do not remember what the date was the night I got saved. But I can take you back. I can put my finger on that day in my life. I can tell you where I was. I can tell you where I was sitting in the church service. And now, that doesn't mean you had to be in church. Some of you got saved at home, you know. Some of you, you got saved around the kitchen table. I've been in a lot of homes. I've had the privilege of opening the Bible. I like to do it around the kitchen table and lay out the Word of God and talk to people, and they've trusted Christ as their Savior. But you ought to be able to put your finger on that day in your life, and you ought to be able to say, "I know that's the day I got saved. I know the Lord saved me." If you don't know that, would you consider making this the day? Would you consider making this the place that you get saved? Hey, I'm going to speak mainly to believers this morning, all right? But there's nothing more important than you becoming a believer. I mean, nothing more than that. Now, I want you to notice our text tells us, look at verse 12. Our text tells us that the apostles' hands were used to perform many, many signs and wonders. Things were going on, so people sat up. They took notice of what was happening, all right? I mean, the works, the miracles, the power stirred people so much that they thought, hey, if I can just get my folks out and I can just put them somewhere where at least maybe the shadow of Peter coming by would fall upon them. Hey, can I say this to you, buddy? That is influence. That is influence. If somebody just wants to be in your shadow. Now, they were looking for it because they wanted healing, all right? Their thought and their hope was, their dream was, I'll put my loved one out. The Bible talks about them on couches, all right, and on beds, and I'll lay them there. And if they'll do it, and maybe Peter walking by, his shadow would fall upon it, and just maybe they'd get healed. I want to tell you that they believed in some great influence on the part of Peter. Now, I want to speak to you because I believe with all my heart everybody has influence to some extent on somebody. Amen. We've got some influence. Now, I want you to consider this question, though. Who wants to be in your shadow? Amen. Who wants to be in your shadow? All of Peter's influence was on a spiritual plane. All of it. And that's what we're talking about today, all right? I'm talking about you as a child of God. Who would want to be in your shadow? Let me just give you a few truths to think about, if I could, this morning. I want you to see, first of all, they got in the shadow on purpose. You with me? This was on purpose. You ever been outside on a hot day, a hot day, the sun's shining, and you're out working, and the sweat's coming, and all of a sudden, a cloud comes by, and you get in that shade. And that cloud slowly moves, and you really want to move with it. You just want to be in the shade of that shadow, all right? Now, that's just by chance that happens, okay? What a blessing, you know, it was for that little bit of time that cloud covered you. Hey, you didn't get in that shadow on purpose. It just happened. But these folks wanted to get in Peter's shadow. It was on purpose. It was a planned thing. They worked it out. They had something they wanted, something they desired, and they thought they could get it that way. I was working on my notes and thinking about this message, and I thought of this instance. I remember, and I was reminded of my brother. Years ago, we were playing a church softball game down at Sylvania Park off of Belknap in Haltom City. It was about 3:00 in the afternoon in the summer. The thermos, you know, thermometer was well up over 100 degrees, and I was out. I was pitching, and I just be honest with you, we were taking a beating, all right. And I was pitching, and I looked around, and my brother was playing center field, and I looked around, and he wasn't there. And I looked back, I thought, where is he? And then I saw him way out there. Way. Nobody could hit the ball that far. He was squatting down in the shadow of the center field light pole. He was there in the shade there, all right? He wanted just a little bit of shade, all right? He wanted it. Hey, that shadow had something he wanted, just a little cooler spot, all right? Hey, those folks got in the shadow of Peter on purpose. They were just hoping his shadow would come across them. That was their plan. That was their desire. Because they figured, hopefully, that loved one of theirs, or maybe the individual themselves, hey, I'll get some benefit from it. Now, I'm asking you the question, who wants in your shadow? Well, what do you have that somebody else might want? You ever think of that? Hey, we're talking to Christians. We're talking to Christian people. I'm talking spiritually, on a spiritual plane. I'm not talking about your money. Maybe you're here and you're wealthy and you think, well, people are just waiting to get at my money. Well, I want to tell you, there ain't nobody waiting to get my money. My kids are worried about having enough money to pay off our bills when mom and dad are gone, all right? They're not worried about, you know, my son's trying to figure out how he can put it on my daughter, and she's trying to figure out how she can put it on him, all right? They're not waiting for that. Hey, but what do you have as a Christian that somebody might actually want? I've said to folks in Acts, what they wanted, what they needed was physical healing. Can I say this? Maybe you've gotten yourself a preacher. I'd like to have that physical healing. The problem is none of us, our shadow, will not give that. It will not give that. But the shadow of your influence ought to provide some spiritual blessings that people ought to be able to see in you and want it for themselves. They ought to be able to look at you and say, hey, you know, they've got something that I'd like to have. You ought to have something worth wanting. Do you understand what I'm saying? You ought to have something worth wanting. You say, what do you mean? Take your Bible to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was speaking. He was speaking to his disciples. And in John chapter 15, notice what he says down in verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Joy. Joy. The Lord Jesus Christ said, hey, I'm giving you my joy. I'm giving it to you. And he said, I want your joy to be full. Well, would you stop and think about it? We live in a day of trouble and problems. We live in that kind of a day. We live in a day where oftentimes the phone rings here and people are seeking help. People are seeking help. And they've all got a story of the problems and why they're in the midst of where they are. But I want to tell you something. It's good in a day like this. Isn't it good to see somebody who's not always burdened down, broken, and blasted by the world? Amen. Isn't it good to run across somebody that seems to have some joy in their life? Amen. I mean such joy that bubbles out of them, all right? That's not kept hidden. It's a joy that the problems of life cannot remove from them. You say, preacher, do you have problems? Of course we do. Who doesn't have problems? I used to say when things were looking good, I'd begin to wonder, what's going to happen now? What's going to go wrong now? Because everything's running along okay. But I want to say this to you. The Lord said, I've given you my joy. Now, does people see that? Do people see the joy of the Lord? We used to sing the chorus, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. But man, you look at so many people today, you would think there's no joy in them whatsoever. Well, preacher, I got problems. I understand. But the joy of the Lord can pass that and overcome that and still just ooze out of you if you've got enough of it. That's the kind of joy that people would see and say, I don't know where you get that from, but I'd be interested in having some of that. I'd just like to get a little dose of that, all right? A little dose of that joy. People ought to see that. Folks ask, how you doing? I've told you about the lady in our church that used to be your child, rode my bus, and I made the mistake several times of asking her, how you doing? And I had to listen for the next 15 minutes of how she was doing, and none of it was good. Ever. So I made my mind up, I will never again ask her that. I just said, boy, it sure is good to see you today. And I would find myself fixing to say, how are you? Whatever you do, don't ask that. Don't ask that. Hey, isn't it good to have somebody come along and say, I'm doing great?
Amen.
Man, things are going good. Things are just, oh man, everything's great, you know. People ask me that, and I usually say, I'm having a big time. And when I say that, people laugh. But I'm telling you, I'm having a big time. I'm just having a big time in life. Enjoying. Why? Because God sure is good. And I've got that joy that comes. That joy that ought to come to you when you get born again. It ought to still be in you. And it ought to be coming out of you, all right? Why? He gave it to you. Somebody ought to want that from you. Go with me to Psalms, the 37th Psalm, would you? Over in the Old Testament, Psalm 37. I want you to look at a few verses here. There's something else that you ought to have as a child of God that ought to make people get with you and said, I want to get under your influence. I want to get in your shadow because I'd like to have a little bit of that drop out on me, all right? Psalm 37. All right, here's what the Bible says. Psalm 37, drop down to verse 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. I'm going to tell you, there's a Bible verse that a lot of people don't believe. Because the world's filled with people. Hey, I'm talking about people that name the name of Christ that would rather have the riches. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Hey, there's one thing we ought to have as Christian people that other people say, I want in some of that. Amen. Could you just get me have a helping of that satisfaction? Because, man, few people in this world are satisfied with what they've been given by God. Well, it just ain't enough. I want more, all right? Most of them are crying out and searching and working for more, more, more. Hey, great thing in the world is to be able to be satisfied with what God's given you. Just be satisfied. You say, how in the world? Look in Proverbs. Here in Psalms, the next book is Proverbs. Look in Proverbs chapter 19, all right? Proverbs chapter 19. We'll just read a few verses, all right? The Bible gives you some help with this thing of being satisfied. Being satisfied. Proverbs chapter 19, look at verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand, or that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Or just to be able to abide satisfied. You said, how am I going to do it? Well, verse 20 said, get you some counsel. Receive some instruction. He said, well, where's the counselor I need to go to? It's right here. It's right here. It's the Word of God. Go to that counselor. Hear that counsel. Get you some instruction and learn to fear the Lord. That's what verse 23 says, all right? The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Learn to fear God. He said, if you'll do that, you can abide satisfied. Satisfied. Boy, I'm amazed watching people. Folks get attracted to shadow and influence of those people who know how to be satisfied. Boy, that's who ought to be attracted to. I want to find somebody that's satisfied. I want to be able to sit down with somebody that's enjoying life. Just enjoying life. You know, in all honesty, I've not known a lot of rich people. Not known a whole lot of rich people. I went one time back in when I was in high school to a meeting in Colorado for 2 weeks, and I was in a room, had a roommate, and he was a fellow from over in Dallas, and his folks lived in Highland Park. His dad was a doctor in Dallas area, and I can still remember his name, but his first name was Phil. And I can remember them getting a box of something mail was sent to them in a box while they were there. Their parents sent it to them. And I remember, I didn't get a box. I didn't get anything. My parents said, "Don't come back." No, they didn't say that. I didn't get a thing. But I watched him open the box. And he was in my room there, and he opened the box. And they opened the box, and there was rocks in the box. And I thought, this is strange. His parents sent him rocks. Now, I hadn't lived in Texas very long, okay? And I noticed on those, they were kind of pretty much round, kind of flat rocks. And somebody had painted a target on the rock. And I thought, it's weird. Now, the funny thing, though, to me, I'm watching him open it, and the people that around him, he had some kinfolks that were there, and they were just laughing. He was laughing, and I'm going, this is funny. Obvious us poor boys don't understand humor, all right? And if you get a rock with a target painted on it, that's funny. And so I finally said, what are y'all laughing about? And they said, oh, this is the logo for Target store. Well, I didn't know that. I'd never seen the logo from Target. I'm still shopping at Kmart. We still had them, all right? So there weren't any Targets over here. I'd never seen that, and they were laughing about it. And I said, what's funny about that? Well, that's that place they sell that cheap stuff. Oh. Hey, I want to tell you what. I've never known people that were so rich, you know, that it didn't matter where you shopped, you know, and you had to go somewhere else. Man, all my life I've been spent looking for sales. My wife and I, when we first got married, we didn't eat anything unless it was on sale, because that's all we could afford, man. And we shopped, we'd get the sale paper out. It looks like we're going to have blade steak or, you know, something. I mean, that's what we're going to have this week. It's going to be a lot of, ground meat. That's on sale. That's what we've eaten. And, but I found this. I found a lot of people that were poor in this world's riches, but they were satisfied. And they were happy. They were happy. They knew what it was to get around just in joy what they had. Satisfied. Hey, have you got that kind of satisfaction in your life? Are you satisfied what God's given you? What He's allowed you to have? You satisfied? Well, I think you should have given me more. I've always had this philosophy. God knows who He can trust. He said, preacher, you just said you didn't have much. I told you, God knows who He can trust, all right? God knows. God knows. Or learn to be satisfied. Hey, boy, wouldn't it be good to just get in the shadow of somebody that's really satisfied? Get something from them. Hey, joy, satisfaction, but that's not all. You're still right there in Proverbs. Go back to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. I want you to notice what the Bible says here. Now, we could go to a lot of places in the Scripture for this point, but Psalm 71, I want you to look at verse 5. Psalm 71, verse 5. The psalmist said, for Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Look at verse 14. But I will hope continually, and yet will yet praise Thee more and more. Hey, one of the great things a child of God has that a lot of the world does not have is hope. Hope. Who wants to hang around somebody that always acts as if there's no hope. Gloom and doom seems to be their constant refrain. Hey, I want to tell you something, my friend. Life's not hopeless. It is not hopeless. Psalm 39:7 says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. My hope is in Thee." He said, "Man, preacher, what are you hoping for?" My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's it. That's where it's at. That's my hope. He said, "Man, what's your hope for the future?" The Lord Jesus Christ, come back. The Lord Jesus Christ, come back. "Well, preacher, what if you die?" Man, I'm going to instantly, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My hope is in Him. Nothing else. Nothing else. My hope is not in my bank account. Not in my bank account. Every time I think, you know, it might be there, then I hear them talking about going to digital currency and losing value and all that. You say, "What do you do?" Don't worry about it. Why? Because my hope's in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord, nowhere else. Hey, can I say this to you? As a child of God, you ought to get out of bed expecting good things. You ought to get out of bed expecting good things. You ought to go to bed thanking God for good things. You say, "Man, it was a tough day." Aren't you glad you got a bed to get into? Hey, listen, God's people, we've got something the world doesn't have. It's hope, all right? Well, you ought to live in hope. You ought to live in confidence. You ought to live in assurance that God's in control. That's it, man. That is it. That's what I'm counting on. Not counting on the government. Hey, when there's voting time, I vote. But I don't have much confidence in politicians. Don't have my confidence not in them. My hope's not in the Republicans, the Democrats, the Independents, the confused, the belittled, the befuddled. My hope's in God. Amen. That's where my hope's at. That's why I can get out of bed expecting good things to happen. Good things to happen. "Well, preacher, what about the day you had surgery?" I was hoping for good things, all right? Amen. I was expecting good things. "Well, what if it had not gone good and you'd have died on the operating table?" Hallelujah. I'd have been in the presence of my Lord. Amen. It would have been okay. It would have been okay. Hey, where's your hope? What kind of hope do you have? You go through life, gloom and doom. Boy, what about you? Let's go back to the New Testament. Go to John chapter 14, would you? John chapter 14. Listen, we're talking about things that people ought to want. Things that you have, people ought to want. Don't get messed up in the message. Don't forget where we're going, all right? What is it that you have that people ought to want? If you're saved, you ought to have these things. He's given them to us. But boy, there's something else He's given us. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus Christ said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Why? He said, "I'm giving you peace." Peace. Go over to Philippians. Philippians, it's still in the New Testament. The book of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Hey, this thing of peace. Peace. Philippians 4 verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Peace. Peace. I'm going to tell you, the world has no peace with God, and they definitely know nothing of the peace of God that passes all understanding. They have no grasp upon that at all. There's no understanding. But you ought to have it. You ought to have that peace. It ought to be in you. You ought to be able to display peace in the time of trouble and peace in the midst of the storm. Doesn't matter what's going on. There ought to be peace in your life. There ought to be peace. You and I as God's people should not be wringing our hands, saying, "Oh, if I could just get some peace." This morning, about 5 o'clock, I woke up. I couldn't go back to sleep. You said, "Were you worried?" No, just couldn't go back to sleep. Got out of the bed, got in my recliner, did some thinking, did some praying, went to sleep.
Amen.
Then I woke up, thought, my word, I got to get in a hurry here, all right? Hey, peace. You ought to have it. Joy, satisfaction, hope, and peace. You know, if you've got all those things and they're really displayed in your life, that ought to make somebody want to get in your shadow. You ought to display those in your life as a child of God. Man, somebody ought to just say, well, I want to rub up against them and get a little bit of that, all right? Well, let me say this, and if you miss everything else, would you get this point? You can't cast a shadow unless you are closer to the sun. Okay? You can't cast a shadow unless you are closer to the sun. And the sun I'm talking about is S-O-N. Unless you're closer to the Son of God, you're going to have a problem casting a shadow that people want to get into. Hey, the only benefit as a Christian, the only benefit we have to offer is because we're closer to the S-O-N, the Son of God. We're closer to Him. Being closer to Jesus Christ means you have a closer walk with the Lord than somebody else does. Doesn't make you better than them, but it puts you closer to Him. It means your relationship has been developed. It means your relationship with the Lord's been worked at. A close relationship doesn't come accidentally. It has to be worked at. Worked at. Some of you sitting here, you're sitting next to your husband or your wife. Your relationship did not just, boom, there it is. Everything is wonderful. No, you had to work at it. And if you still got a good relationship, have a lot of years, you're still working at it. You're still working at it. Every now and then I stop and think to myself, when's the last time I told my wife I love you? When's the last time I did something for her? She's thinking the same thing. When was it? All right? See, a relationship, we think alike. Hey, if you're going to have a relationship, you got to work at it. You got to develop it. If you're going to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to work at that relationship. If you're going to be closer to Him, it means you know how to get a hold of God in prayer. You know how to touch heaven. All right? It's not, and when the Lord hears your voice praying, He doesn't say, who is that? Because He's heard it many times. Hey, if you're going to cast a shadow, you got to be closer to the sun. You got to be closer to the sun. Hey, you realize maybe that's the reason a lot of people might not be lining up to get in your shadow. Because you hadn't been walking closer to Him. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. Are you walking in the light of God today? Are you living under a cloud that you've let envelop you? That you've let overcome you? Hey, you can't cast much of a shadow if you're walking in darkness. Cannot do it. And man, if you can get in the light, can I say this in closing? You have a circle of influence. It may be family members. It could be co-workers. It could be friends. But there are those that come in to your shadow in life. The great question, though, I want you to ask is this. Do you live such a life that folks want to get in the relief of your shadow? Is there somebody you just really enjoy being around because they're just enjoyable to be around? You don't enjoy being around a negative person. Person that's always, you know, down. always can see the dark cloud, but never the silver lining. Hey, are you that person that they'd like to get into your circle of influence? They say, could I just have some of that joy rub off on me? Could you just rub some of that satisfaction? Could you help me to get it? Could you help me to have that hope? Could you to help me to have the joy? And those things, preacher, that you've talked about, that peace, could you help me to have them? Say, they ought to be in your life. Hey, if they're not there, maybe you need to change some things today. Maybe you need to change some things. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law. You get in this book, it'll give you more peace. Give you more peace. God's already said he's given you joy. We know that if you'll abide and understand the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, you can have that which you need. You can get it, all right? You can get that satisfaction in life. You can have it. But it's up to you. It's up to you. Maybe you need to just begin to develop those characteristics that people should be able to expect from a Christian. Maybe you need to work at that. Is your life one of hope? Is your life one of joy? One of satisfaction? One of peace? If it's not, maybe you need to start right here at the altar and get things right. Maybe you don't have him because you're not saved. You've never been born again. Would you trust the Savior today? Would you just come to him? Say, preacher, what do I need to do? In a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to sing a song of invitation. We invite you to come. If you'll meet me right here at the front and just say to me, preacher, I need to trust Christ. We'll have somebody take the Bible and show you what it says. Say, preacher, I'm saved. Then there ought to be joy evident. There ought to be satisfaction. There ought to be hope. There ought to be peace. That ought to be in your life. So much that people could see it and say, I need to find out where they're getting that from. God's speaking to you this morning. What are you going to do about it? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning because we're needy people. Lord, I realize that great peace comes from you, Lord. Joy, satisfaction, hope, those things come from you. And if we'll have the right relationship with you, we can have those things in our life. And Lord, I pray you'd put something in us that would make us want to have those. And Lord, want to have them to such an extent that the world would look and say, I'd like to get in the shadow of that individual. I want to get what they have. Lord, help us this morning. Be with those this morning that need to trust you as their Savior. Give them courage today. Step out and walk down the aisle and meet me. Lord, would you just use the invitation this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing this morning the invitation hymn. Folks are here. Do you need to join them today? Is God speaking to you? As we sing, just as I am, would you come while we sing it? Come on.